Oh my God, a Sergeant Ignatius Larkin. I feel like I call you Iggy now, and it not, there'll be no harm in it. How are you?
I'm very good, Greg. I've been called Iggy now for a number of years, so I think you can go with Iggy at this stage.
We're speaking not long off the back of your official retirement. 39 years to the day.
39 years to the day, exactly. I joined on the 3rd of August, 1977, and I decided earlier this year that I would go on the same day and do the 39. I was thinking of doing the 40, but I decided...
Well, if you can get out one earlier, why
well, else? Exactly. So I decided to go.
Where were you originally posted?
Originally in Donegal. To go back to the start, really, I'm the eldest of a family of 12 living on a farm in East Galway. So in 1976-77, I was doing the leaving cert. And at that time, there was no prospect of staying on the land. So I called the local Garda station, and the sergeant there, Sergeant Joe Rooney, got me signed up to the Guards. And on the 3rd of August, I headed for Templemore, and in January of that year, I headed for Donegal up to Buncrana, so that was my first station.
And what was Buncrana like then?
It was very much border stuff. There was a lot of people living from Derry living in Buncrana at the time because of the conflict going on there. And 45 young people or young fellas, in fact, left Templemore that day to head for Donegal, and there was only 3 left on the bus when we got to Buncrana. And it certainly was an experience. I was only just turned 19 at the time, so it was a major experience.
A baptism of fire, because there would have been far handier, handy is probably not the right word, but, you know, you were heading into an intense situation.
Exactly. All I had heard of Donegal was Northern Ireland. There was bombs going off, and there was serious conflict going on there at the time. And even my family after that, or friends indeed down in Galway, would never come to Donegal because they felt Donegal was part of Northern Ireland and part of the conflict. And in fact, we were very close to it. But I think when you're young and in that situation, you don't even think about these things, you know. And certainly I remember driving through Derry when a fire had started deliberately in a building out in new buildings, and there was a threat that asbestos was burning. But I just drove on. I had to go through it and get out. And just when I think back, I says, what was I doing in there in the first place, you know? Mm. But, you know, it was one of these things, you know, you just pass it off, really.
Was it a more dangerous station to be based in, as, say, for instance, compared to, you know, one in Galway?
Well, I'm not sure what Galway would have been like, you know, but I didn't see any danger in it myself now. But we were working along the border. Like, I only spent 6 months in Buncrana, but I remember working in Lifford after that, and it was the time of the H-Block parade or disturbances in Belfast, and the people were dying and hunger strike. And I remember there was a car burnt in Lifford Bridge back in 1981, and I was on the southern side, and there was plastic bullets being fired at the crowd, and they were coming across at us. And in fact, I picked up a plastic bullet off the road that day that had been fired across the Lifford Bridge. So I didn't see the danger, but obviously for the RUC on the other side, it was a very extreme situation, and the danger was there, you know. You didn't know when the car bomb was going to happen or what was going to happen. You know, so.
Extreme situation.
Exactly,
you're on the end of the rubber bullets
exactly,
as well.
Yes.
Do you think it required a different type of policing? Did you have to have a different way about it? Did you have to be sort of, I mean, were you in the middle of it a little bit?
We were doing checkpoints at the time, and were armed checkpoints at that particular time, because nobody knew what was going to happen next, you know. So thankfully that had eased off a little as time, and it's great to see it now. If I could mention the RTE programme there, Reeling in the Years, if you look at the late 70s, early 80s, into the 90s, it was all bombing in the north. There was at least one or two major bombs with loads of people killed down the years in Northern Ireland, and it's great. That problem has moved away to some other country now at this stage, and it's great to have the country we have now, like with the peace.
And it's funny you mentioned, you know, I remember when I was working in London for a couple of years, and the view of Donegal and Northern Ireland is, oh, you wouldn't go there, you know. And then it was only a number of years later that I heard the same stuff in Dublin, you know. It just goes to show you don't have to be that far removed to sort of.
You know, I know people are saying they'd never go to Turkey on holidays because it's next to Syria. But Turkey's a massive country.
And we should know better, shouldn't we?
And
we should know better, really,
at this stage, you know, because it's a huge country, and I'm sure 99.9% of it is safe, but, you know, there's always the little pockets that we hear about, you know, so.
So then from Lifford, what happened next for you then?
Well, I met Moya at the time in Lifford, so there was a rule in the Guards at the time that you had to be transferred within more than 20 miles from your relatives, including your own and your wife's relatives. So I was sent over to Ballantrae, over to your area that time, and that's where I got
harassing you over there,
and that's where I got to actually to meet your own family over there, and I used to call regularly in your house to your house when you were all younger, of course, and I knew your mother and father very well, and as I say, got to know you all well, and strangely, you all went into the media after that, or a lot of you did, really, you know, so...
And that kind of points to a different type of policing in that, you know, maybe more integrated in the community, you know, not necessarily in that specific case, but, you know, more generally whereby... You know, you'd engage with Gardaí, not necessarily just at the checkpoint or just at the station.
Well, I said it last week when I retired at the retirement function that Ballantrae was the greatest experience I had working because, first of all, you had to do everything that had to be done. You know, all the posts had to be done by you. You didn't have to rely on a sergeant to do it. But you also got to know all the people in the area. Like even now, I know, or apart from the new houses built in Ballantrae now, I knew everybody in the area at the time. I used to call the houses... for different reasons, like gun license was a big thing that time. But you had to be a good tea drinker that time, because if a person offered you a cup of tea, you went in and you had the cup of tea and you got to know the people that way. So I have very good friends over in that area yet, you know, so it all built up because of the community policing, you know.
So. And I want to sort of, because you were so long in the force, use it as an opportunity to discuss how things have changed. But as it relates to that, it's probably not realistic now, of course, we've gone beyond that, but was that more effective? Did you find it easier to do your job because maybe it was easier to talk to someone before they went off the rails, or maybe it was easier to sort of you know, find out who's up to mischief or whatever, you know, I mean, young people do that and that type of thing, but you know, did you find that you were more, because you were in the community, it was easier to sort of police community in a community way?
Yes, definitely. I would definitely agree with the keeping open of the smaller rural guard stations. One guard might be enough in those places, but I think an extra thing there is that guard should be living, if possible, in that same area, getting involved in youth clubs and GA clubs and even golf clubs, whatever club that's in the area, and get to know, and especially getting to know the young people from 12, 13 years of age. It's very, very important because those young people grow up with you then, and like I remember an incident that I was involved in the Leaf Project in Rafoe here and got to know a lot of young people that had been in some trouble as they grew up. And I remember working in Letterkenny one night and there was a young particular fella was in a lot of trouble and he was very agitated and had been arrested. And when I walked in, he had recognised me from before and he settled down because he needed to see somebody that he had recognised and that he could rely on and whatever. And his whole attitude changed and he was actually released without charge that night afterwards because he settled himself down. Obviously, maybe a couple of drinks too many and found himself in a very awkward situation and felt very threatened. And all of a sudden he met what he called
familiar
a friendly
face.
And that worked for him, you know.
And how long were you based in Ballantrae then?
I worked in Ballantrae from 1981 to 1990. So I worked those 8 or 9 years there. So
highlight of your career, if you were to sort of take it in periods of time?
Well, as stations go, I enjoyed Ballantrae most of them all. Definitely, no. Okay, I...
But did you feel like maybe you were missing out a little bit on...
Yes.
You know, the action.
Well, you probably were, because at the time we had no patrol car in there, so you used your own car without expenses to go. And like, unless you sat in the station all day, you just had to get around and whatever. So you had to use your own car. Different now, they at least have provided some cars for that. I suppose Carrigan's, when I went to Carrigan's after that, was back to the border situation again, you know. But then obviously I got promoted from there to Pettigo, and Pettigo was a different experience altogether.
In what way?
In that when I went to Pettigo, the Good Friday Agreement had just been signed and there was only two roads open in Pettigo at the time, and all of a sudden within a couple of months you had about 18 roads open, you know. And then a couple of years later they went back to the foot and mouth and BSE and they had to close all those same roads again. So it certainly was a learning experience there. But
and the guards had a big role in that?
Big role, yeah. Because the road was open, there was a checkpoint put on every road with one guard in each one. So it's the logistics involved there was major because those people had to be fed. They worked a 12-hour shift. Now, I didn't have to do those, but I certainly would appreciate that some man or woman out in a quiet road in the middle of nowhere doing a checkpoint overnight, it certainly has its own problems there, you know, so I don't know who's going to come along and that, you know, but we got through that as well, and as I say, I enjoyed Pettigo as well. The people in Pettigo were lovely people, real country, rural people as well. Probably more affiliated to Northern Ireland than they are to the south because they're cut off there by a major area between Lahey
and a rubbish road.
A rubbish road, exactly. So they are a bit closer probably to Northern Ireland than they are to the south. But as I say, that doesn't take away from their lovely people up there.
No.
You know?
And In terms of your involvement then with the Traffic Corps, when did that kick in?
Well, I came into traffic in Donegal Town in 1999. And
in that interim, was that whole 8-9 years in Pettigo then, was it?
No, Pettigo was from 1981, Ballantrae from 81 to 89, and then 94 to 99 I was in Pettigo.
Right.
I was the sergeant in charge in Pettigo. Like, the traffic really was really the one I always wanted anyway. And even when I was up in Carrigans, there was another lad, Eamon Early, worked with me up there. And we used to do our own kind of unofficial traffic corps up there, patrolling around quiet roads and doing checkpoints and that, back in those days, you know. But really, getting into traffic was the major one, really. And we came in at a time when road deaths were major in the county. And I remember being on your show here, or Sean Doherty's show, back in 2004, when 10 young people had been killed at Donegal in a fortnight, you know. Now, okay, we had a couple of very bad weeks in the last couple of weeks, but to take that part of it away, we certainly have made great strides in road police.
What would you put that down to? I mean, say, for instance, you know, as you mentioned, when you came in, it was a very different time. It would be almost like, well, where do we start? You know, because it's education, it's enforcement, it's making sure the cars are even safe to be on the road. Like, where do you even start in a situation?
It's probably a combination of all of them. You know, the whole culture of drink driving changed. Mm. Like, there's an ad, if you go back way back in 1972, when it was the worst year ever in road deaths in Ireland. Yeah, there was an ad out that time, do you really need the fifth pint, you know? So, like, they would show you could have four, but the fifth one might push
you
over
the edge, yeah.
You know?
I think the gear stick, wasn't it?
The fifth pint was the fifth gear. Astonishing when you think of it, you know? But all that culture has changed, and they've brought in new laws to do with the what we call MAT checkpoints, where you have to, where their people are breathalyzed, you know, at particular
people are going to say, though, but people are being, you know, we've got a high rate of drink driving still in this county.
Yes.
And people feel that the Gardaí sometimes is like shooting fish in a barrel, and that they're doing a lot of the checkpoints in the morning, you know, maybe when there's not necessarily, you know, it's not as dangerous as it would be in the middle of the night, and that's where the figures are coming from. Is there any truth to that, do you think? Do you think we are breathalyzing and running checkpoints at the right time in that regard?
Well, my feeling on that is that I've come across major accidents early in the morning,
okay,
and the drivers have been drunk, and the accident was caused by the person that had drink from the night before. Now, for a person to be drunk the next morning must have a major amount of drink on them from the night before, and it's probably shorts, likes of whiskey and that, because otherwise they wouldn't be drunk. Like, if you get if you have 4 or 5 or 6 pints the night before and you have a night's sleep and then you have a breakfast the next morning, you will not be over the limit.
Mm.
So the person that fails the next morning has had a lot of drink the night before,
yeah,
and he's not able to control his car, and you're tired and you're weary and
your reactions are not
as good. Exactly. And when you take the morning time from 7 o'clock onwards, that's when people are going to work. That's when the roads are much busier
maybe
than they are
school,
maybe at 2 or 3 in the morning, you know. So I don't agree with the shooting fish in the barrels side of it when it comes to drink driving. You know, it changed the whole culture of people. Like, when the smoking ban came in, people changed the culture of it, because if I was smoking beside you, you would complain about it. And the drink scene needs to be the same. Like, if you're drunk and you get into a car, the person beside you should say, complain, no. Look, there's a taxi to get home out of here. Mm. Leave your car there until the next day or whatever, you know.
Okay, I'm chatting to Iggy Larkin, 39 years, recently retired from on Garda Síochána. Right, so back to the traffic call thing, because I know that is a big deal. So the figures started to come down. What changed, do you think? Had impact. The penalty point system is a great thing, but education and enforcement as well, we've already talked about.
Yes, education. I have been involved in a lot of road safety stuff down the years, and the road safety road show that came on here, like, I saw that originally in Belfast, to the PS and I were running it, and we brought the concept down to Donegal, and now it's become one of our major events every year for school. School students, maybe around 16, 17 years of age. The secondary schools and the primary schools is a major thing as well. The guards need to get in there and teach road safety, because children there will not wear seatbelts if their parents don't tell them. And the child is a very important aspect there. They should be starting to wear the seatbelts. Now, when it comes to enforcement, like, I started work with multi-agency people like the RSA there in the last 5 years, and I have found that to be one of the major successes that we've had in the county, in that when it started originally, we took 40-foot trucks off the road when they had to be towed away or carried away on another truck that were so badly. Like, there was a lorry heading for Letterkenny one time, and there was no brakes whatsoever on the trailer. Now, it would have to come down Lurgie Brack, you know, and we saw years ago a lorry come over the top of a roundabout there.
That's when they built the runoff.
That's when they built the runoff, yeah. You know, and so we took a lot of them off the road. There was the fishing in Killybegs is a major industry there, but a lot of companies are in the Dublin area. Now, I'm not saying Dublin specifically, but around the Dublin area, decided there's a trailer there with grass growing out of it in the yard. Take it to Donegal. Nobody will stop you because there's a fish container has to go to the port, Dublin port. And this is what was happening. And
but when you start targeting that type of stuff,
yes.
You're doing it for the right reasons, you're doing it for the safety reasons, but there becomes a backlash from it, I presume.
Well, I didn't see any backlash for us, really. You know, we took the bad ones off the road, and I know myself that if I did a checkpoint in South Donegal in the last 6 months, I would never get a machine as bad as that.
Right, yeah. Okay. So
definitely not. No, you'll get ones with minor mistakes. And
but you're not going to have to tow them away on another...
You don't have to tow them away. Like, I've had to do that about four times, you know, that I'd get a big truck to carry the other truck away. It wasn't even fit to be towed away, you know, so... to me, there's no backlash there. You either have it right or you don't. So word's got out around the country now that you could be stopped in Donegal if you're going up there, you know.
And the consequences.
So that's one aspect I think has improved. And the drink driving has come down, even though we say we still have a drink driving culture here. A lot more people are taking taxis to go out for functions at night, and you know, and they're wary about the next morning. And if they're wary about it, that's fine with me. I have no objections to that, and certainly, you know.
And you know, in the first instance, when you hear of someone losing their life on the road, obviously your sympathies are with them for the life that's been taken from them, but their loved ones and their family. But I remember speaking to a parish priest who's no longer with us. Ages and ages ago, before I was involved in media, and he says the hardest part of his job was going out to road traffic collisions, and even more so having to return back to the house and to contemplate what he went through. I presume that's one of the more difficult parts.
It's a very difficult one. I suppose, thankfully for me, I never had to deliver a message where a young person had been killed.
Right.
Like, I had to do it where an older person had died, and I was delivering the message to another older person, and I couldn't believe the reaction, like when they got the shock that their loved one was dead, you know. So that hit me hard that time, and I found that if you have to go, and if your teenager is killed in the road, that must be a horrific thing to have to do, you know. It's certainly not easy to do now.
But I suppose, you know, it's part of the first responders, but I don't think anyone could ever get used to that.
There's no training that'll get you ready for that, you know. It's one of these difficult ones, and that's where counselling is needed for everybody involved, you know, because, like, we have forensic collision people that go to these accidents all the time, and they like to see everything in situ before the body's removed from the scene, and that certainly has to be horrific. And, like, we had the two major accidents here recently, like, there was one member there had to go to both accidents. Mm-hmm. So, like, that to me, for him heading home, it would not be easy there, you know. So.
Yeah, and I think anyone who listened to Michael Harrison, Inspector Harrison's interview with Sean Doherty, you could see that he was genuinely, you know, affected by it.
You could hear it in his voice, you know. We were to do a show actually that particular week, and we couldn't do it because of that. But because we had done great things up to that, like, you know, okay, we had one fatal accident in Donegal up to that particular week, and which we all say one's too many, but for a major county like Donegal with the road network we have through it, to get it down to one really. And after that, or before that show that we were to be ready for, I had looked at the figures for the last 10 years in Donegal. We had 7, we had 9, we had 8, we had 5 people killed. We'd got it down to 1, you know, and to us that was a major achievement to get it down that low, considering what we've had down the years. And then all of a sudden you hear outsiders saying, oh, that's typical of Donegal, like they're at it again up there, you know. But I know we have a kind of a racing culture and a boy racing culture in this county, but I think the education of those young people is a major thing. Like, I know back around 2004, 2005, this concept of getting the off-road tracks for them to do.
That's right.
You know, and I know I was here for the rally this year, and there's 4 particular tracks going that weekend, you know, so that concept hasn't gone away. Like, people, criticised me for that that time.
Because you were encouraging it?
Because I was encouraging it. But having said that, nobody else came up with anything better, you know. Like, I just had the TV on last night, just flicking through channels, and some English event, actually a world event, and it was this kind of drag racing or whatever, very similar to what we were looking to encourage here, you know, off the road, obviously, you know.
But texts and calls coming in on drink driving. People know people are at it in their area. Why aren't the guards doing anything about it? From your insight, I'm sure you've heard that before.
Well, I have, you know. Certainly, if I drive into a pub car park late at night and see cars there, and I go back a couple of hours and see the same cars there, I certainly would be wary of that. Like, it's easy for the person drinking in the pub to say, well, so-and-so is at the counter and he's drunk.
Is it resources, though?
A lot of us do with resources. Yeah. Yes, the traffic is well down now this year. Like, there's been 3 retirements in Donegal Town out of traffic, and in the last 6 months, there's been 3 promotions in traffic in the last couple of days. Mm. 2 in Letterkenny and 1 in Donegal Town. So that's 6 members gone out of traffic and nobody will replace. So it certainly is a resource.
When you say nobody will be replaced,
in the short term, certainly, you know. As I say, I'm out now and I don't really know, but before I left, there certainly was no plans to replace any of those people, and certainly they do need to. Now, okay, they have a problem with overall resources because...
Well, I'm not going to push you beyond where you want to go, and I think I'm not capable of doing so, but, I mean, I have spoken to Gardaí, they're serving, and they're involved in fairness with some of the unions. What is morale in your, as far as you see it, as it relates to Gardaí and the resources that people have and the equipment people have, do you think there is a morale issue?
There is a morale, yes. No doubt about it. The resources are not there anymore. You know, figures have dropped. Like back in up to 5-6 years ago, we were getting a steady flow of new guards coming into the county, but that's not happening now. Like I said back in when I came here in 78, 45 young people came to Donegal that time. If we get one now, it's a major issue, you know, and that is the way. If you put one new member into Letterkenny Station here, you know, they get lost in the amount of... I have to have great sympathy for the guards working in Letterkenny here. They have a very difficult job here, you know, and it's very hard to take one or two of them away and put them into a traffic corps unit, you know, but that's what's happening at the minute.
And what work are they doing? Is too much time with limited resources taking up doing stuff that isn't out and about?
Yes, there are certain positions in the guards that I certainly feel civilians should be doing them, without a doubt. You know, then there's guards could be put out on the beat or out in patrol. Definitely, I feel that is the way forward. If you look at the PSNI or English police, that's the way they do it. You know, they have people doing civilian jobs inside that are being done by civilians.
And the policy seems to be close stations and have more patrols.
Well, I know in some of the local stations here, they kind of pool together the resources they have, and that's all they can do at the minute until they get more. I don't agree with stations being open all the time. You don't need stations open. You know, you can open a station for 3 hours in the day, and if you have forms to get signed, you do it in that time. You know, you don't need a station like any of them.
Well, maybe let's go back to Ballantra when you were sitting in that station, and if you didn't use your vehicle, your own vehicle, you were stuck in that station. Mm. What's being a... You know, I mean, you're not a form filler or what have you, so you couldn't police if you're stuck there. So I suppose, in fairness, it's a consistent point of view.
It is. Well, Ballantra was open for 3 hours every day, and people knew it was open from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And a lot of the stations could be open those hours. And, you know, once people get to know the opening hours, then that'll be the way to go.
But if I interview people within the force, they say we have enough resources. And then I speak to people a little bit further down, and I don't mean that in any way disrespectfully, that say we haven't enough resources. I mean, is there a leadership issue there?
Oh, I don't know about the leadership. No, I can't see anything about the leadership. I see nothing wrong with the leaders that are there, but their hands are tied as well, you know, definitely. And I have no doubt about that. But look, the numbers are not there, you know. That is the way.
And it's not just traffic corps. We've seen the drugs units gone by the shouting.
That's right.
You know, and then, you know, the figures look reasonable at the moment in terms of not a major increase in crime. But if there is a major increase next year, say, it's the guards that get the first touch.
It is,
know what I mean.
Well, I my big one was traffic, and I know myself that the figures have dropped. And we got our road debts down. And the fear is now that if traffic is reduced, those figures will go back up again, you know, and then we'll be looking for more resources then. But, like, the traffic members that are out there at the minute are doing a good job. There's no doubt about it, you know, but it's just a matter now, can they really cover all aspects of road policing? I don't think they can, you know. So.
And in a county like this, and what we've seen, that's something that needs to be looked at.
It does.
On a more lighter note, the Garda Schools quiz was the brainchild of yours, and it's picked up, and it went very, very well.
It did.
Motivation behind that?
Well, it was back in 96 originally when I was in Pedigo, and I decided, you know, we need to get involved in some way here. So I came up with the idea of a fifth class schools quiz for the Ballyshannon district originally, just for the schools in that area. But then it took off as a countywide thing. So I think it's a great way. It gets the local guard in to visit his school. He gets to know the children. He then gets involved in bringing them to an event or whatever. And children remember those things as they go along. You know.
But I've two or three texts already talking about the importance of Gardaí and the community Gardaí going into school, saying it's the best form of policing. You're talking about it, but we're seeing less of that though now.
Yeah,
so we're
moving
away from
what seems
to be a consensus.
It all depends on your local guard, but the school's quiz made him go and visit his local school.
That's okay.
It did do that, you know.
Okay.
And maybe he got to like it then as well, you know. Like certain people will do good at certain jobs and some are not, you know.
Right, we're up against the clock outside of your job, I suppose, as part of it too. You're handy with the golf clubs, are you?
Well, I was. I was much handier back in the years, you know. I suppose I had a couple of highlights in the golf, and that back in 93 we won the All-Ireland Garda tournament down in Thurles. I was on the winning team that year, so that was a fabulous day. I was very lucky back a couple of years ago to win the Leitrim Cup up in Downings, which was in Rosapenna, which was great. I enjoyed that, but I'm hoping now to get back into the golf again, you know. So,
But you're not actually. You're not riding off into the sunset too. I mean, you have your plans post Garda.
I have, yes. I have a couple of brothers do health and safety, one in Galway and one in County Down, and I'm going to start working with them and kind of do a little bit of health, because I'm going to go from road safety now to health and safety, really. So, because I feel there's a big opening for that out there, and that's my next plan anyway. So.
Well, thank you for coming and talking to us.
Thank you.
I suppose you couldn't have done it any of this without the support of your family. It's like everything, isn't it?
Well, this is it. Moya has been with me now for 35 years, so she's been there nearly practically from the start when you think of it. And then with three lovely children, like Louise is getting married next year now to Patrick from Westmeath, and that's in 6 months' time now in Rosapenna. So
you're saving up for that,
saving up for that now, exactly. Then I have Lorraine living and working over in Manchester, and then Matthew, actually, who's home at the minute with his wife Alison from Sydney. So he was best man at a wedding in Donegal yesterday, so I don't know how he's feeling this morning, but it's great. And my plan next year will be hope to get to Australia and visit them out in Sydney, so that'll
superb.
Be part of the plan.
Iggy Larkin, thanks so much for coming in, give us a bit of an insight into life as a Garda, a senior Garda too. So it's been very, very enjoyable. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you.